John is probably happy that I didn't wake him up this morning. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians 2. There's a whole lot of Philippians, but let's look at let's start in chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, there's many, many places in the New Testament that talks about being of one mind. As you know, I've spent the last few months rereading every one of the the extra biblical books and letters and writings of the early church fathers, and this is the one thing that everything stopped if everyone wasn't of one mind. Now, they're not talking about one mind about what you think of the world or anything, but they're talking about one mind of a commonality of what the meaning of a particular scripture is. We're not used to thinking in terms of one mind. But anyway, that's not where I'm going. In verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other or other better than themselves. That's the real meaning of humility, that you consider and esteem the other, whoever the other is, better than you. And why is that? And how can you do that? You can sit in silence and not say anything, or you can open your mouth. And the evidence that you don't believe that the other is better than you is the criticism of others. And that is a serious, serious, serious position to take. To criticize others is the evidence of a lack of humility. Yeah. Anybody want to talk about that? Mr. Jeff?
Oh, there's a couple of people I criticize around here.
But, I mean, do you understand the importance of it? Let each esteem the other better than themselves. And the reason is if you see yourself as the chief of sinners, then by definition, everyone else is better than you. Does that communicate?
That's the ultimate decision to make. Most people never get there.
Yeah, but it can only come if you're not to repent. It's the same. We're back to the same issue. You can never justify it. Let each esteem the other better than themselves. It's easy to sit in judgment, but part of what the renewal of your mind is that reaching that humility, and that can't come without repentance. Every time you are tempted to think you are better than another person.
And I'm not picking any person out here. Let's just say there's someone out in the off the lot, and it's a situation where it's constant. It seems to be a pattern. Do I just continue forgiving, taking the lowest seat, and just let that person have his way with me, or do I finally just say, Father, I surrender and I move on?
Well, you can't fake it. You can't have a rule. If you had a rule, then it wouldn't the whole thing of humility wouldn't work.
I had a guy I worked with years ago who was just
do
I? I had a guy that I worked with 4 years ago who was impossible. I'm just saying it was. I know I was part of the problem.
No, I mean this is big.
But back then I wouldn't say I was only a believer in words. Probably not even much in that department. So it was all philosophy and psychology to get through.
But all I'm asking is there anyone that doesn't see the importance of this, or does anybody disagree with it? Let each esteem the other better than themselves.
I agree.
No matter who the other is. And again, the only way you can see that is to see with Paul, as he saw, that you are the chief of sinners. If you see truly you're the chief of sinners, then everybody else in the world is better than you. But it's so easy to move from the mercy seat to the judgment seat. And the more obstinate the person is that you're judging, the easier it is to move from the mercy seat to the judgment seat. They're right next to each other. The moment you move to the judgment seat, all is lost. I hope you understand. This lowliness of mind, let's look at, I think Romans 12. But don't bet on it. We've spent a lot of time studying Romans 12 because it's so important. And it's about being not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so this, what we're talking about esteeming the other better than you, is the way in which, one of the main ways, in which the renewing of your mind takes place. If you use your mind, you'll sit in judgment seat about just about everybody in some one way or another.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to read it, but what's after. In verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In honor preferring one another. You prefer the other person over yourself.
What is dissimulation?
I think it means arguing, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
What verse is it?
It's in verse 9.
Oh, no, it means without acting, without a disguise. This really the first thing you do in this with a disguise, with dissimulation, is not say anything. You just internally judge, and you never let anybody know about it, except God knows. Of one mind. One opinion. No matter how we've gone this many, many times, there's no private interpretation of Scripture. You can't have your own ideas about it. That's why some of the, you know, when we first started, there was almost warfare sometimes, or there was warfare. Doors slamming, cars driving off, because it's a rough deal to have you naked and exposed. All right, continuing down, back up to in verse 10, and be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In other words, no matter what you do, in thought, word, and deed, you have to see it as being a servant of God. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceits. Anybody know what conceits is?
I know what the word conceited is. So I imagine if it comes from that.
It means pride.
Yeah.
Your own delusions.
Yeah.
Your own prides. Your own prides.
Yeah, your own delusions. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Kindly affection one to another, preferring the other over yourself. I mean, these aren't, I mean, this isn't like something okay, I'm going to turn a switch on now, I'm going to prefer everybody over me. No. It's part of this thing that the just as Christ had to be tempted by the evil one after his resurrection, after his baptism, so must you be tempted to find out whether or not the resurrection in you is real, or if it's just it's just there by sorcery. And sorcery really is just acting, and then you watch your words. You be very careful. You pick your how you're going to say something. That's when it gets down to sorcery. Instead of giving no thought to what you're ever going to say, just say it. If it's there, say it. If it's not there, don't say it. But saying what's there just exposes the reality. Anybody? Or do you think your reality is what you show outward?
I just think being transparent all the time is a fine line between observation and judgment. It's difficult.
There's a fine line between
observation and judgment. So often when you
I think that the fine line is a bright shining light between observation and judgment. Judgment is the nature of the beast. That's what the mind does, is judge. Does that communicate? The mind of Christ doesn't judge. Prefers others over himself. And if as I've been in spending a lot of time in bed the last few days, this issue is where we're lacking as a body. It's so easy to talk about somebody. Especially if you have a ready listener. You have someone that doesn't exhort you, so those are the ones you want to talk to. This is really important. Don't take it lightly. Amen? Well, let's go to James a minute, I think. Yeah, James 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Do you remember who this James is here?
Brother of Christ.
He's a brother of Christ, and he became the first leader of the church. And well, he wasn't Pope, but he was the leader of the church in all areas. But anyway, my brethren, count it all joy, or count it the highest joy, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying or testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, there are probably as many interpretations of what double-minded means as there are readers. But to me, double-minded means using both your mind and the mind of Christ. So you continue in double-mindedness. The mind of Christ is abandonment of self. And every time self returns in your thought process, then there's a problem, and that's called, it's called like a wave of the sea driven with wind and tossed. But anyway, in verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth. The grass and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall a rich man fade away in his ways. Now, I don't want to talk anymore, but because I can't. But consider these things and talk about them in the Seder groups, because this thing about preferring the other more than you in every arena. Okay? Amen? Take it, big guy.